Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, welcome to BT Sport's new podcast, Life's a Pitch. My name's Mike Calvin. I'm joined by Tony Evans of the Evening Standard and Adrian Clark of Arsenal TV. It's simple, really. Win the Europa League final and it's a great season for Liverpool. Lose it and the jury's out. The FA Cup is a consolation prize for Man United, but for Palace, it's everything. We'll round up a crazy end to a crazy season. Adrian will celebrate St. Totteringham's Day. But first, Tony, your club. Liverpool favourites?
It's close. I think marginally, yes, favourites. Sevilla have struggled away from home in La Liga. But of course, they've won it twice in a row. So it's they know what they're doing in the final. I think it'll be very, very close.
Liverpool have had a long season. Mm-hmm. 63 games, mm-hmm. This will be. 20 more than Leicester. Does the adrenaline of a final overcome all that?
Yeah, I think so. And let's be honest, Jurgen Klopp has rested quite a lot of his key men in recent weeks, as have Seville, by the way. Unai Emery has hardly played any of his regulars last two games, so don't take their current form too much into account ahead of this one. And I think the same applies for Liverpool. His first choice lineup, I think, will be similar to the one we saw against Dortmund and Villarreal in the last two rounds. He's got himself a nice groove, hasn't he, with that lineup. And yeah, I think it's going to be a cracking final. I really do. Sevilla aren't great at the back. I think of all the teams in La Liga, they've conceded the most shots. So they're open. So Liverpool, I think, will get chances in this game. I see both teams probably scoring, actually. Yeah, I think it's going to be an entertaining game.
Will the real Liverpool stand up? Because they've had a lot of injuries, 13 at one stage.
Yeah.
A lot of inconsistency. They've had some fantastic highs, emotionally driven highs, usually in cup competitions. Do you expect that again?
Well, yeah, because I think the place will be full of Liverpool fans. Yeah. All the tickets will get hoovered up somehow by Liverpool fans. So I think there'll be a really hot atmosphere there from Liverpool. But the real Liverpool, we don't know, do we? I mean, until Klopp signs his own players, we won't know what they're going to be. I mean, they've been so crushingly bad at times this year.
Yeah.
And you look at the league position, it tells you everything. In the Cups, it's been brilliant. Klopp's brought a feel-good factor to the club. But the bottom line is, they haven't been playing that well overall.
You've had some great highs, haven't you, Liverpool this season? But when I think to the Man City game at the Etihad, that was the day, in my view, that Klopp arrived. His imprint was on that team, wasn't it? It was a brilliant performance. It was what he stands for. Mm. Why haven't we seen that more often?
Well, the players are not good enough. Okay. No, it's the same bunch of players who got Brendan Rodgers sacked. Mm. And to get to any finals, good.
Suppose he has, he's made a big impact on Adam Lallana. I think he's really improved under him.
He has, actually, yeah. I do like Adam Lallana. I think he's hit and miss. I've got to say, Adam Lallana, he can frustrate me as a neutral fan and as an England fan, because you know what he's capable of in terms of scoring goals, but he often looks good and then the final ball or the final shot isn't quite up to scratch. But I mean, do you agree on that, or
he's a bit lightweight, and so he drifts out of the game. One of the problems is with Klopp, and where it's so hard to assess, there are not many players, that many players, who've been improved under him. You expect a new manager to come in, especially with Klopp's reputation, to organise them, to inspire them. And there's been periods in the season where haven't seen that.
Milner and Chan have done all right, haven't they?
I think Coutinho cleaned up at their club awards, didn't he, last week?
Well, Milner, done what Milner always does. So he hasn't improved. Shan has shown signs recently.
But he should be improving. He's a young player that's got a lot of growth in him, hasn't he?
Coutinho's got, you know, a lot of talent. I don't think he's actually improved. I think he's about the same as he was last year. Lovren has improved. Aside from that...
Well, Kolo Touré, is that right with Kolo Touré in terms of... Look, last season... I thought whenever he played, he was an absolute liability. I can't actually believe he's still playing at the highest level, but they need him now, don't they, for these big games? And he has actually clearly listened to Klopp's influence on the training ground, because he hasn't been, you know, as dodgy in recent weeks.
If we're talking longevity, what about Seville and their captain, Jose Reyes? You'll know him as an Arsenal invincible 12 years ago. Still doing it for
him. Still knocking around. Yeah, I don't know. He's not really a regular these days, but he's a good player.
He's a great symbol for that club, though, isn't he?
Very much so. And he was a class act as a player. I mean, he wasn't really at Arsenal that long, looking back, but he had some good highs. They've got a lot of talent, haven't they, Sevilla? I think they've got good footballers. They've always produced excellent players, haven't they? A good tradition. They've given a lot of, not given, sold a lot of players to Barcelona, haven't they, down the years, with Alves and Rakitic. I think Adriano was one of the more recent.
Well, they've made, Tony, was it €200 million in transfer profits over the last 10 years?
Yeah, you know, their director of football, Monchi, has done a brilliant job. But talking of Barcelona, that's one thing in Liverpool's favour. They've got Copa del Rey final against Barcelona at the weekend. So, you know, they've got one eye on that. And certainly... from within the city, from Sevilla fans, beating Barcelona is a bigger deal, perhaps, than beating Liverpool.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons they didn't take up all the tickets, apparently, is because they were all aiming to go to the Copa del Rey final.
Ticketing issues, you know, there are complaints from both sets of Madrid fans about the Champions League. You know, Liverpool, a club of that magnitude, only 9,000 tickets. They'll probably have 19,000 people there, won't they, Tony?
Oh, probably more, you know, by the time we get there. I mean, this is the perennial problem with finals. And we'll see it at Wembley, United in the cup final. You know, the way the tickets are cut up, you know, and the amount that goes to sponsors is actually unbelievable. And, I mean, in this case, it's because Europa League finals didn't sell out. You know, they obviously go, oh, yeah, we'll put it in Basel and there. And suddenly they've got Liverpool there, which is, you know, I think they need to think more strategically, especially now that the Europa League has a Champions League place as the reward.
Yeah, and that does...
Well,
that's
the carrot, isn't it?
Because actually I've found the Europa League this season absolutely intriguing. Especially the later stages.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, that carrot of the Champions League place has transformed the competition, in my view. And that is why Liverpool and Sevilla have prioritised that in recent weeks. It's been all about this final. So they'll be nicely rested, the key men. And you've got Sturridge, who's got something to prove, hasn't he? Is he even going to stay at Liverpool beyond this season? It could be his swan song. I think this occasion might be good for him. I looked at that semi-final between Shakhtar and Sevilla, and some of the defending was shocking from Seville. I think that Liverpool can score goals in this game with Coutinho, Firmino and Sturridge up top. I think there's a possibility for goals there, but it's at the back, isn't it, with Liverpool? It's always at the back with Liverpool.
It does have the feel of a shootout, I suppose. But, you know, Sturridge, you wonder will he end up at your place next year?
I wouldn't mind. I do like him. I do like Daniel Sturridge. I think he's there are question marks over whether he fits in to the team ethic, but as a pure talent, as a match
winner.
He fits
into the Arsenal team ethic, in that he's always injured.
That's bang out of order, that is. No, but he doesn't, I think, because he's an individual, and I think he's probably too old to change his own style of play, Daniel Sturridge. I don't know if he can become this crazy hard-working centre-forward that will just get in the face of defender. I don't know if that's going to ever be him. If he went to somewhere like Arsenal, that wouldn't be demanded of him. It'd be all about his movement. And I think his movement, with the likes of Mesut Ozil and Cazorla supplying the ammo, I think he would score a hat for. Yeah,
we're talking about shocking defending. Now, let's put this forward to the FA Cup final on Saturday. Man United have got form in that area and they've got history in that area. Are we looking at a potential upset here?
Well, yeah. I mean, United have been so poor all year that, you know, if Palace have the conviction and take the game to United, then, you know, anything's possible. The problem is, when I've seen Palace this year, certainly since Christmas, I mean, they were in fifth place after the halfway point in the season, then they fell to 15th in, 11 games. Unbelievable. You look at them and... they don't believe. They sit deeper and deeper and deeper, and if they do that, Martial will be allowed to run at them, and it'll madden.
I don't fancy Palace in this game. I think it's going to be straightforward for Manchester United this game. I haven't been impressed with Palace. Wickham and Bolasie pose a threat and at set plays, which Man United have been appalling at set plays. Chris Smalling, he's had a good season. He started off the season fabulously, I thought. He has tailed off a little bit. His partnership with Daley Blind is OK. I think that's one of the pluses for United this year. But Chris Smalling on corners needs to be isolated. And if Scott Dan or Damien Delaney can get a run on him, that's where Palace can.
They've existed because of De Gea, isn't it? If they didn't have that goalkeeper, they'd be eighth like Liverpool.
Well, De Gea and Martial, you know, after Christmas, made a huge difference. I mean, the thing is, they'll have Fellaini back, and he'll be useful at corners. But set pieces, they're awful. And Palace are very good at set pieces. So there is that. But, you know, Palace really have to get the ball up into the final third, and they've got to stay up there. If they let United go over the halfway line, you know, they're too often they're going to struggle.
What's your read on Alan Pardew, Adrian? You know, he's a polarising figure.
Yeah. I think he is a streaky manager, isn't he? He's one of those. His track record is clear. He has unbelievable runs where he takes a team forward and then it's almost as if they rest on their laurels and then they go backwards. It's happened wherever he's been. I think he's a good coach. On any given day, I think he can come up with a tactical game plan that can really work and spring a surprise. He would see himself as a future England manager, I think. That's something he's eyeing. I hear you sniggering, Tony.
So modest.
but I can hear you sniggering. I think he might just fall short, actually, in that regard. But look, he's a decent manager, but I don't think he's got the players at Palace to really... they're huge underdogs, in my opinion, against Man United, even though they haven't been brilliant this year.
There'll be a lot of focus on Zaha because of, obviously, his background with Manchester United, the transfer which didn't work, you know, the Fergie brain fade, if you like. He has been their player of the year at Palace this season, but he would drive me mental if I was his manager.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he's so quick and, he can scare defenders, but there are times when he just looks... He looks as if he's in a different game to the one that's going on. You know, he's easily distracted.
Is he really their player of the year?
Mm-hmm.
It just surprises me. I just think he's had another in and out season.
You know, for someone with his talent, his movement's poor at times. He is really frustrating. You know, you hear him and Bolasie in the same team, and it's like...
If you look at the United, obviously, we've had, thankfully... the bomb scare that wasn't. But they have to have that game now replayed on Tuesday. Will that be a disadvantage in the build-up to the final?
You would say so, but look, it's Tuesday to Saturday. It's not the end of the world. It's almost as if they can have, you know, a trial run at it and play around with ideas ahead of the cup final. They might want to hoodwink Alan Pardew to some degree, now that there's actually nothing on it from their point of view, other than...
Get a point in the Europa League.
Yeah, I think they would back themselves, even if they played a weekend 11, to get a point at home to Bournemouth. So I do think Louis van Gaal might throw the odd curveball in on this one, just so Pardew doesn't get a heads up on what they intend to do at the weekend. It's a bit of a non-event, that game now.
Talking of distractions, Tony, we've been talking ad nauseam about Louis van Gaal and his future and whether he'll stay at Man United or whether Mourinho will go in there. You know, there are elements of the Mourinho camp now doing a bit of briefing. You know, there's a word called dithering which keeps coming up about, Man United are dithering, so he'll go to Valencia or he'll go to PSG or he'll go to Everton. Well, they've knocked down Everton now. Has all this been a bit of a distraction or do the players just get on with it?
I think the players just get on with it. I think it's one of those situations. I think they'll have a good idea that not getting to the Champions League will leave Van Gaal out in the summer. So I don't think they'll be worrying too much about him at all. I mean, they'll want to win the cup, do the best they can.
Can I just say, I thought that Jesse Lingard video on the bus, that video of them mucking around...
That would have never happened with Fergie, would it?
No, you wouldn't... Under any team I played for, and I mean this, any manager, I wouldn't have dared to do that as you were coming into the ground, let alone... A game that could define your season. You're literally pulling into the gates. You're late already. Yet they weren't bothered, you know, mucking around. And my interpretation of that is that, A, were the players bothered? But the main thing, where was Louis van Gaal? Why wasn't it? Where was the cold stare? Where was the, oi, so he said, what are you doing, boys? Stop it. Right. I think that was a very clear indication that his authority is on the wane, and maybe he's given up.
Ferguson would have had them and say, right, let's get in there and let's show this lot. Yeah. You know, let's humiliate them for what they've done to us.
Embarrassing, that video. Embarrassing. And I think that told you, it spoke volumes for Van Gaal, who's supposed to be a disciplinarian. Well, clearly, either he's given up or he's lost the team.
Yeah. Mm.
Manchester United feature in the England squad of 26 men that's just been announced by Roy Hodgson. Marcus Rashford in the 26. Any chance of him actually going to the Euros, Tony?
Surely not. I mean, I just can't imagine why he's even in the 26 at this stage.
I mean, well, they were talking about him going to training with them, and I think it's a good idea. Simply, you know, in those three warm-up internationals, why not play him in one?
Because this is the time, really. You've got to be working on what you're going to be doing in the tournament. You know, it's not time. There's plenty of time. There'll be, you know, come August. It's like then you can have everyone in training.
Easy,
you know, it's
World
like,
Cup qualifiers. Yeah.
So you know, it's one of them. This is where you should be focused on the team that you're going to get out there for those three games, which are crucial. And so you know, you don't want to take any passengers along for the ride. Give them a bit of experience.
This is where he should be partnering Kane and Vardy as a matter of course, and fine-tuning a partnership that works and getting a diamond in behind them that functions, getting everybody in the right positions. Just nail it. You've only got three games before the Euros. What is the point in giving all your fringe players loads of game time? I don't see the point.
That's
One player not in that 26, Theo Walcott. Yeah. He's absolutely at a crossroads now, isn't he?
I don't think anybody's surprised that Theo Walcott hasn't made the squad, because he hasn't played well probably since October, November. He had a hot streak back then. He played brilliant against Leicester, Manchester United away. But then since then, his season has petered out, and it's been a really bad year for him. He should be at his peak, Theo Walcott. And a player like him, who's built his game around pace, I don't think he's going to have a super long career. I don't think in his 30s he'll have the same impact. So these are key times for him, and he needs to be playing. And I think the fact that he's not made the England squad, he's not involved in the Arsenal team at the moment, will make him think...
Didn't even make the bench on Sunday.
It might be the time for him to have a new challenge next year. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't know. I haven't got any inside information, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's a part in other ways there.
West Ham mentioned.
Yeah. The on the grapevine, people are talking about him leaving. And West Ham, it seems that he quite fancied that, wouldn't have to move. Last year, Liverpool were very interested in him. I'm not so sure he's Klopp sort of player. You get to the point where, in all those 10 years he's been at Arsenal, he hasn't improved significantly. And that's an indictment both of him and of Wenger.
Well, I just think he is what he is. I don't think, if you take away Theo Walcott's pace, unbelievable speed, I don't even know whether he would be in the Premier League. He's just not got an all-round
game. Is it also a bit too comfortable for him?
Maybe. Look, I just think he's maybe a player that needs a bit more fire in the belly. When he's on his game, Theo Walcott...
Couldn't someone have taught him to cross, for example, in 10 years?
Yeah. Every player has, I guess, technical limitations, and I don't think he's a player that's blessed with unbelievable natural ability. I think that's the point I'm making. His game is built around, you know, his speed, and he has improved his finishing. I'll give him that. And there were signs earlier this year that he can play centre forward, but it's been a bad year for him, and maybe he needs a fresh start.
You know, we're talking about limitations, Tony. Roy's only picked three central defenders. There's no room for Phil Jagielka, which, to be honest, surprises me a bit.
Yeah.
That's really light, isn't it?
Yeah, they look very, very light in defence. You know, I think there's lots of midfielders, not enough defenders in there. I definitely would have taken Jagielka. I know he's been injured, and I know he's, you know, it's the comeback's been difficult, to say the least.
He hasn't had a great season, though.
No, he hasn't put... But then again, which of those central defenders in their England squad has had a great season?
Attack has to be the best form of defence for England. I think they're going to be involved in some high-scoring games at the Euros. We haven't got a great defence. It's obvious. But we do have goals in us.
On a positive, though, you've got Eric Dier sit in front of them and protect the centre-halves.
They're going to need him, aren't they?
They really do need him.
What about Jack Wilshere? Obviously, you've seen him in his comeback.
Yeah.
Arsene Wenger's saying, well, all he needs really is about two 90-minute performances so he can get back. worth his place?
Well, I know that you don't think he's worth his place. I do, because I think he's one of England's best players. And I think that he can offer things that other players in that squad just don't have the ability to offer. He's fresh. That's a positive. He's certainly not jaded after the campaign. I think he showed in the cameo that the Etihad last weekend, he was excellent in a central midfield role. I think that's where he should be judged.
Played wide right again in this last game.
He did OK. He wasn't brilliant, but you can't judge him there. It smiles in the
bank. Assuming for England you're going to have to play Dyer and Ali central, where would you play him?
Well, I think Jack Wilshere. I would play a diamond, so I would have three central midfielders. I'd have Dyer at the base. I'd have Jack Wilshere one side and another, probably Dele Alli the other, with potentially Rooney in behind, the captain Rooney in behind Kane and Vardy. That's how I would play it. I would go, Dyer, Wilshere, Alli, Rooney. That's how I would do it. And I just think Jack Wilshere is a class act. And we don't have a lot of class acts in central midfield.
109 caps for Rooney. He won't win any more as a central striker, will he?
No, but he's in the team no matter what happens. He's Hodgson's captain, and one of the things about Hodgson is that at the moments of when the pressure's on, and it turns up to maximum, he goes with the players he trusts, so he'll play Rooney. I mean, we saw the contortions he went to in Brazil to get him into the team, playing him wide on the left against Italy, and it's madness. You know what? The worst thing is, there's loads of pace in that squad. There's plenty of pace. And by putting Rooney in, it takes some of that away.
I'd pick Rooney. I'd pick him. I just still think he's one of our best players. He can unlock the door. He's a brilliant passer. I think he can extend his career as a midfielder. I genuinely do. I know where you're coming from, Tony, but we don't have many real top-class players, but in my view, he's still one of them.
Mm. A lot of focus this summer will be on the managers. Now, Everton looking for a manager after Roberto Martinez has gone. I wouldn't be surprised if Martinez pops up again in La Liga. A lot of talk about Ronald Koeman going there. Would you swap Southampton for Everton?
At this stage, I wouldn't. No, definitely not. They've got a good thing going on at Southampton. And assuming they still put money into the club, then they'll go forward.
39 points in the last half of last season. Fantastic.
You know, they're going to be in Europe. Everton, there's a bit of a rebuilding job there. And you're not quite sure which direction the club will go, because, you got a new major shareholder in there. I wouldn't be going to Everton at this stage.
I'm not convinced Southampton have peaked yet. I think they can go higher. We've seen what happened. What a team can do with momentum. Leicester finished last season on fire, probably with a similar points tally to what you were just talking about the second half of the season. It's imperative, I think, for the Saints just to keep everyone together, and they can challenge next year right up there. I think they're a match for anyone on their day.
And what about Rafa? Do you think he might end up there?
No, I don't think they're
a bit politically unstable, that one.
I don't think they'd be bold enough. And funnily enough, he'd be the perfect match for them.
He'd
take them forward. But
Moyes back?
There'd be mass suicides at Goodison. I think they want someone with a little bit more. His teams have a little bit more flamboyance. You know, they want to get the old school of science thing going again. I think it's clearly a really good job for someone. But all the talk of Mourinho was nonsense. They're not going to go for Rafa. Thibaut wants it badly. I think they've got a fair amount of thinking to do. And, Eddie Howe has declared himself a boyhood Evertonian. I always knew there was something I didn't like about but in all seriousness, he'd be a very good match.
Do you expect Rafa to stay at Newcastle if he gets the reassurance that it's his baby?
All the indications are that he will, I think if they give him certain guarantees, he'll hang on there. Yeah, I mean, he likes the place, he likes the passion of the crowds. If he gets control, he thinks, he could bring them back up and then anything's possible. I personally wonder whether that the whole management and the ownership of it is so rotten that even Rafa will be able to sort of restructure it. I am concerned about that.
Yeah, I think if they invest in a better personnel at the back and keep the other players...
It's a question of the culture, though, isn't it, of the club?
I don't know. When they went down to the Championship last time, they did OK. They bounced right back.
They did that with a real solid core of British players who interacted. I get the impression that there's not that dynamic at this club.
Might not be, but they've improved, haven't they, dramatically, and they might feel like they've got a good thing going. And if you're part of a dressing room that's winning, it's quite an attractive thing. It's not, you know, Newcastle is still a very attractive club to play for.
The thing, last time they went down and come back up, the financial landscape was very, very different. Mm. Big gates still mattered. They could spend more money than the teams in the Premier League. Now, it's not the case. Next season, you know, the team that finishes bottom will get 100 million and Newcastle will be getting nowhere near that.
Yeah, we're talking about rebuilds. There's going to be a rebuild at Manchester City. Yeah. And what about Chelsea? And they had that lovely tear-stained scene where John Terry was taking his bow.
He's going to stay. I'm sure.
This is a PR game, though, isn't it?
Well, he's holding out, isn't he, for a good deal. I think he's been offered a mega bucks deal in China, which is there for him if he wants it. But ideally, he didn't want to bow out this way for Chelsea. So another year, I think if Conte has sanctioned it, it would stay another year. And yeah, they do need a rebuild. I would say that City, weirdly, even though they finished with a lot more points than Chelsea, need a more dramatic overhaul. Oh, yeah. I think all but about five or six could go and start again. Though it won't, but I think there could be 10 out and 10 in. It wouldn't surprise me. Chelsea, I don't think as much is needed. I think actually a good coach with a sprinkling of beefing up certain positions, Chelsea can be challenges again next year, especially if Hazard continues if he fancies it again.
Well, you look at him in the last few weeks, you know, all of a sudden he's come good after the season.
But isn't that a condemnation of him?
Yeah. You wonder whether he's getting himself ready for the Euros. Big performance there. Shop window. Get out of here. I'm not so sure Conte's the right man for them. Described to me as a less intelligent Mourinho. Right, now, Hazard's going to love Darinier.
He worked well with Mourinho at the start, didn't he? I mean, he had a great season, player of the year, wasn't he? They seemed like they had a bit of a loving after an initial.
But isn't that the modern
out.
Player, Adrian? Mm. You have your good year, you get your stellar reputation, then you cash
in. Well, look, the best players in the world are hungry, aren't they? Luis Suarez could have gone to Barcelona and just put his feet up and just said, I'm playing for Barca, I'm just going to do a bit, you know, when I fancy it. He isn't. He wants to succeed. He's hungry. Messi, you see it every year. Ronaldo.
The best players will play for Nottingham.
The elite players will push themselves and push themselves. And Hazard probably just falls into the category just below, purely because he maybe hasn't got that burning desire. He's one of these that's a bit flaky. He'll do it one week and not the next. But if Conte can get a tune out of him and most of those Chelsea players, they've got enough to finish top four. But yeah, it's going to take great coaching to make them champions. Yeah.
Talking of burning desire, is that a phrase you'd use of Arsenal?
That's a leading question.
You know, it's with all due deference to the company, I find Arsenal to be one of the most frustrating teams I've ever seen. They enrage me. I can't watch them. I sit in the press box and I bang my head against the table. No, burning desire isn't there. This is a team with, and to be fair, Sanchez being injured. Sanchez and Ozil in it, and, you know, they're celebrating finishing above Tottenham. What's that all about? They should have, like City, they should have walked the league. And there's Wenger. Talking about, Leicester only got beat three times, and, you know, we beat them twice. Barcelona and Real Madrid, you know, got beat more than them. So Leicester, stop it.
Go on, have a gloat. Right.
Well, look, he was never in doubt, was it? Arsenal were always going to finish above Spurs. It happens every year, 21 seasons in a row. And they called Arsenal bottlers, didn't they? And it was Tottenham that choked at the death. Look, I know where you're coming from. It's a season of missed opportunity for Arsenal. On the pitch, actually, missed way too many chances, and this was a good year to win the title for them. It should have been anyway.
Expected goals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that team should have scored a lot more goals. I think it's time for a freshen up, really, and I expect it to happen.
It is, and you know what? For all the celebrating of Arsenal fans, the wind's changed in North London. Tottenham are going to be contenders next year, and Arsenal are going to do the same as Arsenal do every year.
What do they lack at the moment, Tony? That's just that bit of experience, maybe?
Tottenham, without a doubt, yeah. I mean, the one of the things is Pochettino's got a very young group of players there. And
well, he likes quality backup as well. We saw that he had players missing the last few games. We saw what happened.
Yeah, but they were missing largely because of their inexperience. And at a time when, I mean, there's not very many strong characters in that team, but the two strong characters were Dele Alli and Eric Dier. Ali gets himself a three-game ban, as a crucial point in the season, and then Dyer loses his head completely at Stamford Bridge. Now, it was highly entertaining to see, but someone should have been calming that team down instead of losing heads.
Pochettino is a very emotionally driven manager, and he was distraught at Newcastle. My worst day in football. Do we read anything into his little lunch date with Sir Alex Ferguson?
I don't know. Well, it looks a bit suspect, doesn't it? I mean, look, he's obviously a manager beyond
Manchester. And Fergie was absolutely... he hated being caught on the camera, didn't he? He loved it.
Look, he's on Man United's radar. He's on most clubs' radar at the moment. No doubt about that. He is a very good coach and he's improved Spurs beyond recognition this season. Harry Kane, I think, is a strong character, I think, at Spurs. Let's imagine what Spurs would be like without Harry Kane if he'd have been injured this season. Look, turning it back to Arsenal, where I saw Santi Cazorla at the weekend. He's been missing since November. He was a massive loss. And there's a lot of what might have been. With Arsenal, they need to... The recruitment can't just be about world-class talent. Mm. They need world-class characters as well. They need guys that are going to knit that bond the group together. That's very, very important. And if they can find a channel, a bit of inner Leicester, dare I say it, a little bit of inner steel that Spurs showed when they were on the roll, then I think Arsenal can challenge
the great contrast of Arsenal and Leicester watching both teams this season. Everyone's working for each other at Leicester. Everyone's running for each other. And they're greater than the sum of the parts. Yeah. You watch Arsenal and they're less than the sum of the parts.
Mm. OK, down to brass tacks.
Yeah.
We've got these two finals this week. Prediction time.
Yeah, well, as I said, I think the Europa League final, I think, is going to be an open game. I expect both teams to score. Could be 3-2 either way or 2-1. I'd probably go for Liverpool to win 2-1 against Sevilla. I don't know what you think.
Liverpool 3-0 down at half-time. Come back.
Champions League final, I think it's going to be a cagey affair. Atletico, we know what they're like. I'll go 1-0 Atletico.
What about the FA Cup final?
FA Cup, comfortable. 2-0 Man United.
Tony?
I'm scouts. I've got to say Palace, haven't I?
Well, I love knockout football. I think Liverpool will have a great night. And I'm like Tony. I think Palace might have their day in the sun at Wembley. Thanks for joining us here on Life's a Pitch.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.